3 months have passed since the last day I stood here on a Sunday morning to preach God's most precious word. It's been 3 months of renovation, of breaking down and building up, both physically and spiritually for me. It's been 3 months of unveiling as the Lord has been, as I've been putting it, ripping down curtains. These curtains after curtains of unseen, unacknowledged sin hiding in the shadows. It's been a humbling time unlike any other time that I've experienced. It's been a precious time of renewing. Renewing my mind. Renewing relationships. Most importantly, my relationship with the Lord. I don't put this lightly, but I say that it's been a glorious agony. It's been a time of a painful time of suffering, but a time of great blessing. My last Sunday was June 25th. Many of you were here. It was an interesting Sunday, a Sunday hopefully we'll never go back to experiencing again. But nonetheless, it was a Sunday in which God began to do a work. That Sunday, the message was on 2 Corinthians 3:18, which says, "But we all, with open face," that's an unobstructed view, so we have this open face, "beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." In other words, if you will, with this verse, the title of the message was, "You are what you see," with a subtitle, "Your view of choice becomes your character of life." And so with that, in other words, what you choose to focus on in life, it changes you. We take on the characteristics of what we dwell upon. We are changed into the image of what we spend time focusing on. And so in a glorious sense, with regards to 2 Corinthians 3:18, when we gaze upon the glory of God, as seen in the Word of God, we are changed into that same glorious image, the image of the Son of God, through the working of the Spirit of God. It's the changing process that all of us need to be going through on a daily basis. As we meditate upon the person of Christ, we begin to display His characteristics in our lives. I pray that for each of us, that we're seeking to pursue that on a daily basis. Well, the bottom line is your view of choice becomes your character of life. What you choose to view, what you choose to meditate upon, it changes you to become like it. What I didn't realize when I preached that message was what lay directly in front of me. It was interesting not realizing it, but God was going to show me this passage in a way that I had never seen it before. He was going to give me opportunity to experience this process. This transforming truth that I found here, that we see here, that of being changed into the same image of Christ, right? It's most effective when in stillness I behold the glory of the Lord. It may seem profoundly obvious, doesn't it? Kind of like, yeah, we know that, but the reality, most often, these transforming truths, these truths of God's Word that seem so profoundly obvious are practically obscure. What do I mean by that? Practical, daily living. Practically, the truths of God's Word are often obscure in life. They're kind of dim and distant, as if not really that obvious as we say they are here. Right? Unfortunately, many truths of God's Word are profoundly obvious, yet practically obscure. And I would like to challenge us this morning with this unfortunate reality. I don't know. I've been praying as we've been anticipating this day. I've been praying for some time, Lord, what's your message? What do the people need to hear? What do I need to learn? And I don't know where we're going with these messages. But Lord laid on my heart with regards to stillness and struggles. And so we're going to see where Lord's going to take us with this series. The underlining theme of this series is simply lessons being learned in my struggles. The lessons being learned in my struggles. I trust they will be a tremendous blessing to you as they just... Sometimes it's as I look at this time, I'm thinking, Lord, what do you want me to say? Which part of all the things that you've taught me during this time do you want me to start off with? And I feel like I can just, like a fire hydrant just being let loose and so much can come out, but yet we need wisdom in allowing that to come in God's right time and in His right way. I want us to understand this. It's an ongoing process in the schoolhouse of life as God providentially orchestrates each class, each lesson, each exercise to keep me on my knees in continual surrender. It's the process that God desires to take us through to keep us on our knees or to bring us back to our knees in this continual surrender. So the main truth, if you will, when we have quietness of soul, we will have quietness in the storm. Christ commands, He promises that we are going to have trials and tribulations in this life, right? We're going to have difficulty. We're going to have storms that come our way. We're going to have the hurricanes of life that come and ravage our lives. The reality is, we can have stillness, quietness of soul in the storms of life. And if there's anything that God just really brought to the surface in my trial, in my ongoing trial, is that simple, profoundly obvious truth, yet often so practically obscure. How often do we approach the storms of life with such lacking peace, the peace that God wants us to have? So if you will consider with me, next Sunday we're going to probably look at Job and continue on this message here. But we're going to be focusing in here kind of just introductory as really consider what does stillness look like? What does it mean to be still? Well, first we're going to look at stillness through Scripture, as you see there, point number one. Stillness through Scripture. We see Psalm 46 and verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. Why is this so important? Well, let's consider the two commands that we see here in this verse. Being still and knowing. They're two truths that go hand in hand. In order for there to be stillness, there must be the right kind of knowledge. But it is in stillness that we gain this right kind of knowledge. So we need to understand what's going on here. The first command is what? Be still. Very simple. Be still. Be still. The Hebrew word translated be still carries the idea of ceasing from effort or coming to an end. It means to relax. It speaks of humble, reverent submission. Humble, reverent submission. Often what happens in the storms of life? What do you do? Do, 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 more, 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 more. Anxiety, push, 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 push. I can make it through this. I can do this. We're like that little choo-choo train, right? I can do it, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. And we're going and going and trying, trying, and trying. And we're just almost to the top, and we're about, and it's like, we're just, it's all my might, everything. It's all about me, me, me. I can do this. Something that I've known, but something that the Lord really made very clear to me was that, no, you can't do it. You can't do it. You know the saying, God gives us never gives us more than we can handle? I think that's one of the most foolish statements ever thought to man. Why? Because the reality is God always gives us more than we can handle. Why? Because He doesn't want us to live life without Him. He wants us to realize that I need Him in everything. So He sends things our way to bring us to the place where we say, no, I can't do this. And He says, you're right, but I can. Nothing is impossible with Him, right? But until we rest in that truth, we think, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. God says, be still. Relax. Rest. We cannot know when we are rushing around in many distractions, with our mind consumed with so many distractions. How can we know God if we're busy, 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 busy? And then the reality is this stillness and struggles, it's not just about trials, it's about daily living. It's just about the little things of life that trip us up, the little struggles, the little challenges. It's just about today. It's just about the kids. Where'd you lose your shoe? And where'd I put my keys? And how can I, with all these distractions, normal things of life, how can I continue to know my God day in, day out, and be being changed into the very image of Christ today, daily? That's the process. That's what the psalmist here is talking about, being still. Yes, it's in the trials. Yes, it's in the struggles. But yes, it's in the daily, daily moments of life. We must learn to be still. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, what does it say? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 12 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. The writer of Hebrews uses the illustration of running a race. As you're running the Christian race, what's he saying? He's saying, lay aside every weight. Even before we get to sin, he's saying, lay aside every weight. Dr. Wilmington writes these words. He says, the concern of the Greek runner was not simply whether something was immoral or moral, but rather how it would affect his race. Thus, hear me on this. Hear me. Listen closely. Thus, the enemy of the best. The enemy of the best is often not the worst, but the good. Do you understand what I'm saying there? Do you understand what he's saying? The enemy, the thing that what keeps us from arriving at the best, isn't usually the worst thing. It's good things. We often settle for good and better when God desires what's best for us. Right? Well, I'm doing something good, but are you doing what God wants, what is best? Oh, I never really thought about that.
doing a lot of good things. There's a lot of distraction. I'm busy doing a lot of good. But God's saying, are you doing what is best? The enemy of the best is not the worst, but often what is just simply good.
Somebody once wrote this, many times those weights are simple distractions that create enormous drag. Once, one preacher illustrated this way, it's perfectly legal to run a race in army boots. He said it wouldn't be a wise way to run the race. It'd probably guarantee failure, but you can legally do it. Many of the things that prevent spiritual growth and development are legal. They just don't lead to success. Well, that's good, isn't it? How often are you running with army boots on in your Christian life? It's dragging you down. How often are you running with 80-pound rucksack, as Caleb was learning how to do? Right? It weighs you down. It weighs you down. John Phillips writes, one of Satan's traps is to get us so involved in activity that we will not have time to be still in the presence of God. Sometimes God must force us to be still. Kind of interesting, isn't it? A little fitting. That jumped off the page at me. Sometimes God must force us to be still. Many a person God has had to put flat on his back before he could be made to listen. It's like, wait a second. That hits me right in my heart. That's a humbling thought. That strikes right at my pride. Because that's exactly what God did to me. Laid me on my back. I thought I was doing good. I thought I was growing and thriving. I thought my spiritual life was just, I was getting to know my God in such awesome ways. And I believe in a great way I was. I believe I was growing. But there were still truths that I wasn't listening to God about that He had to say, John, it's time for you to be still. Laying on your back saying, oh, okay, what do I do? Do what God wants you to do. Listen. What does it take for us to listen to God? There can be quiet peace in my soul as I learn to be patiently confident in my great Jehovah. Peace comes into our soul as we learn to trust God and rest in Him. Consider Psalm 46, I trust you're there still. What do the first three verses say? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. What's the next phrase of verse 2? What's the very next phrase? Therefore will not we... What? Fear. Why? Why will we not fear? Because God is my refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear. Though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, I will not fear. Why? Because in stillness I know my God. See the works? But when I don't practically know my God, I will not be still. I will fear when the earth crumbles, when the mountains are carried in the midst of the sea. I will be ravaged and destroyed because I have nothing to rest in. Right? Isn't that what it is? We need to be still so that we can get to know our God. The distractions of life hinder us from getting to know Him. You know, one of the challenges that I've had is God keeps on reminding me, John, you're too busy, you're too busy, you're too busy. If you're allowing too many distractions. When I sit down to do my devotions, God speaks to my heart and He says, get that cell phone away from you. Get that distraction away from you. Get all those extra things away from you and just
focus in. What am I saying to you? Just relax. Just be still. Because I want to tell you how great I am. I want to show you profound truths that you have been too busy to get. But Lord, I've been getting a lot of these truths, haven't I? Yes, but I want to show you more. Oh, isn't that an amazing reality? That God desires to teach us more. And He's willing to take us through the loving process of breaking us so that He can rebuild us. I don't know about you, but I see that as an awesome God who does that. I don't see that as a mean God who's just looking to smack me around. I see the grace of God in such amazing ways. And the reality is, I just need to listen. I need to be still. The key to embracing the trial is learning to be still, being quiet before the Lord. Instead of rushing, we rest. Instead of giving in to distraction, we direct our attention and focus on the Lord. In our stillness, as God speaks, we can listen and embrace the truth. This is when we begin to know that He is God. The second command. The second command is know. Know Him. Be still and know that I am God. Know that I am God. When's the last time you sat and in stillness you emptied yourself of distraction and just took the Word of God and even just a verse or three verses like Psalm 46 verses 1 through 3 and you just walked your way through there, if you will, chewed your way through there. God is a refuge and strength. What is a refuge? What is a strength? A very present help in trouble. You can go word by word and just walk your way through there. What is He saying? What is He saying? Therefore, will not we fear? Am I fearing? Am I not practically applying these truths? Do I know my God? When's the last time you sat in stillness to get to know Him? Second command is know. Know that I am God. This knowledge speaks of knowing by experiencing, to know relationally, intimate, personal knowledge. Psalm 86 and verse 10, "For Thou art great and doest wondrous, extraordinary things. Thou art God alone." Thou art God alone. This is an intimate, transforming knowledge of God. I understand this to be knowledge that results in a change in our lives. Truths that transform us. When's the last time you were transformed by the truth that you just read in your devotions? When's the last time you sat at the Word of God and allowed the Holy Spirit to just minister to your hearts that when you got up and you walked from that Bible, you didn't walk away from the truth because it was changing you as you meditated upon it and you were moved, stabilized because you had just been touched by the hand of God through His Spirit, saying, this is a place that you need fixed. Listen to me. Here's some truth. This is a nugget of truth I want you to share with other people in how you live your life. See, too often we don't get that. And too often we aren't good students of the Word of God because we're so distracted. We're not still before God. What does God delight in? Jeremiah 9:24. But let him that glory or boast in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight. Do you know your God? Or do you just know about Him? You know people, famous people. You know about them, right? Do you know them? How do you get to know people? Spend time. You know what's a big problem with the current generation?
You spend a lot of time together, but don't spend any time together. When you're communicating across the table, you're not spending time together. Are you? You're not really getting to know each other. There's a destruction of the relationships within these generations. The more technology comes in and we allow it, it's destroying us. Because we are too busy looking at a screen. We don't know how to actually look into someone's eyes and talk with them anymore. We're not getting to know somebody. Because you can't get to know them through technology. You see the interpersonal relationship. You see the nonverbal communication. You see how their facial expressions change as you speak to them. As you disrespect them, you see that hurts. You don't see that on a phone. You don't see that on a computer screen. You don't build relationships that way. Why do we think we can build relationship with God? Why do we think we can get to know God that way too? We're killing ourselves. We're destroying ourselves because we are not choosing to be still before our God and coming face to face with Him through His Word and saying, Lord, teach me about You. I am listening. Show me what You want me to know about You and let it change me. This knowledge of God will multiply grace and peace in our lives. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace in our lives is multiplied through the knowledge of God. That intimate, personal knowledge of God. Getting to know them face to face. How often do you spend time face to face with God? The reality is, it shows up in our lives. And do you know when it shows up? You can put on a good show day to day when things are going pretty good. And the people closest to you see it. Because you can't always deceive them very well. But it's when the storm hits. When the hurricane comes. And levels your house. Figuratively or physically. It's obvious. Who do you run to? Who do you run to? Our intimate, transforming knowledge of God will shape our response to the trials of life. How you respond to the trials of life is seen. It gives evidence to what kind of knowledge of God you are resting in. In order to be still, our head knowledge of God must become trusting heart knowledge. See, we know. Do you not know a lot about God? Right? The profound, obvious truths of God. Oh, I know that. Is there anything that I'm telling you that you didn't already know? Anybody? We know this stuff, don't we? We know it. But do we know it? Do you know it? Is it practically obscure in your life? Or is it practically obvious in your life? Do you understand? So what do I know? Well, I know this. I know that God is willing and able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think. Ephesians 3, 20, 21, right? I know that He is the God of all grace, 1 Peter 5:10. I know that He is the only wise God, Romans 16:27. I know that He is sovereign and all that He does is good because He works all things together for good. That very famous Romans 8:28 that we use so flippantly that none of us, or not,
until we go through challenging times, do we really get a hold of that? Often we throw that out. God's working this together for good. Good luck. We use truths of God so flippantly at times. Because it's only here and not here. You understand that? Do you understand that? God does work all things together for good. He truly does. There is purpose. I see that. Do you see that? And I trust that many of us, yes, we're seeing purpose. We're seeing that God is doing wonderful things, that God has used this time for good. Has He not? But many times in life, we kick and scream because this is happening to me and I can't stand this. Why is God doing this to me? It's a waste of time. We're showing that we don't understand what God says. I know that He cares for me. Do you know that He cares for you? I can cast all my cares on Him. I can commit the safekeeping of my soul to Him because He is a faithful Creator. He is my faithful Creator. As a result of these truths, I can be still. My soul rests in full submission to God. Look at the illustration, the figure in your notes there. What do you see? It starts off, in order for me to really get to know and be transformed by truth, I first must need to be still, free of distraction, so that I can listen. It's like we go to the Word of God with our headphones on, our earbuds in, and the music is just jacked all the way up. And we're saying, Lord, I can't hear You. I'm trying to do my devotions and I can't hear You. He's saying, unplug. Unplug. We blame God for things that He's not teaching me. I'm getting into the Word, but He's not teaching me. Meanwhile, we got the earbuds in. We blame Him for that. What are we doing? Take out the distractions. Be still. We need to be still. As we're still first, we can know that He is God. That's personal knowledge, getting to know Him face to face. As a result of getting to know Him, we can trust Him. And as a result of trusting Him, that grace and peace is multiplied so we can have peace in the time of storm. And it keeps coming back to the, and then it comes back. And we continue to be still, free from distractions. And it's this cycle, an awesome cycle. Distractions. Get the distractions out of there. Get to know your God. Trust Him. Enjoy peace. Be still. Free of distractions. And it just keeps on going around. Keeps on going around. Keeps on going around. And it's building, 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 building the foundations of truth to anchor and hold you in the times of trial and tribulation. That's the process. That's the process. The more we are still before the Lord, the more we will know His transforming truth, the more we will be still. See how they work hand in hand? All right, turn your Bibles, go to the right, Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55. We first see stillness through Scripture. Let's consider stillness through submission. Stillness through submission. In these past 3 months, the Lord has brought me to a depth where I've seen the heights of mountains of truth before me. The perspective is different in the valley, isn't it? From the valley, these truths seem even more transcendent, as if reaching to the heavens from which they come. This just really dawned on me. And actually this morning as I was doing my devotions, in the valley, we usually look at the valley as times in which it's filled with darkness and depravity and just such amazing difficulty, right?
times of pain and suffering. And the reality is, the reason that the valley is characterized by great difficulty is because of our focus. It's not to say the storm isn't there in the valley. But when we're looking inwardly, it tends to be as a victim, saying, this hurts, this is painful, this is a real trial. We're failing to look up and see how big the mountains look. Sometimes those mountains look like they're going to fall on us. They're looming. They're huge. Does the mountain, you know, we talk about the mountaintop experience. Well, think about the mountains of truth. The mountains of truth seem so much taller when you're in the valley than when you're on the mountaintop. Think about it. When you learn to be still and embrace the truths of God, those truths are truly transcendent. When your focus is right, what do you see? You see amazing truths that when you then are able to get to the mountaintop and look out, you have a greater perspective of how awesome this heights of truth really are. Does that make sense? You see differently when you understand how big that mountain is because you've been in the valley. So I want to encourage you that if you're going through the valley type of experience, look up. Look up and see the transcendent truth that God is laying out for you. Be still before Him and know that He is God. Know Him in stillness. Stop rushing. Stop pushing. Stop fighting. And rest in Him and watch how He unfolds His truths before you and says, look at who I am. How awesome I am. Look at me. Out of the depths have I cried unto the Lord, unto Thee, O Lord, Psalm 130 says. Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me, and He heard my cry. Hold your place there in Isaiah 55, real quick. Psalm 40, this passage of Scripture has just been so precious to my soul. David writing here, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me, and He heard my cry. He brought me up out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock. You know what that rock is? It's a rock of truth. It's Jesus Christ. That's where we are stabilized. And He has established my goings, and He has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside the lies. And you go, he goes on and he goes on, and he is just lifted up with truth that this is who my God is. And what does he see in this trying time? What happens when I am lifted up with a rock of truth, when I'm stabilized with this rock of truth? What happens? Many shall see it, shall fear, and shall trust in the Lord. See, trials are not just about you. It's about others and how others are going to be blessed by what God is doing through you. It's so important for us to understand. Back to Isaiah 55. Consider these truths. We see in stillness, in Scripture, Psalm 46, verse 10. Consider stillness through submission. Oh, we hate that word. We don't like that word, but it's a good biblical word, isn't it? In order for stillness in our struggles, we must learn to submit. We must learn to submit. Submission takes trust. In order to fully submit, one must fully trust because of increased knowledge. How can you trust God more and more and more and consistently if you don't know Him? Right? How can we really trust Him in those difficult times unless we truly know Him? We know who He's like. We know He's faithful. He provides for all of our needs. He promises.
He loves us. How can we trust Him if we don't know Him? And in stillness, we learn to know Him. Full submission to God is wholehearted, as one holds nothing in reserve. It's casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Total submission to God is being still, because I know who God is. Consider verses 8 and 9 of Isaiah 55. I love these verses. It's interesting. Janie and I were talking this morning, the day before I ended up in the ER. Janie came over to the house. It was a Wednesday morning. She said, "Pastor, you need to take some time off. You need a sabbatical." I might have even chuckled at you, towards you. No offense. But that didn't make sense to me. I'm good. I'm just fine. Yes, I need to ease back the throttle, right? Let's slow down a bit. Let's not rush. Let's not push so hard. Do you know what happened the next day? After I said to Janie, "You know what? I know the change is needed. I know the change is needed. I need to slow down a bit. But this is a bad time to take time off. This is the summer. We're coming into summer. Who in their right mind is going to take off time now? Camp's in full swing. You know, it's the wrong time." God is humorous, as the very next day, He literally broke me. We need to understand His transcendent ways. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God practically was saying, "John, you don't know what is best. You don't know. I know what is best." God's grace is far beyond human comprehension. It doesn't make sense to our natural way of thinking. God's way of thinking transcends our way of thinking. If you will, from this passage, we see that God's ways are countercultural to my ways. What He knows is best is not what I often think is best. Probably beforehand, I probably never think His way is best. Now to look back on it, oh yeah, His way is best. I need to understand His transcendent ways. God, His ways are always best. Number two, we see in verses 10 and 11. "For as the rain cometh down from heaven and snow from," or "as the rain cometh down and snow from heaven and it returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it." Here we see we need to understand His transforming word. God's word is transforming. The question that verse 11 begs us to ask is, what's the purpose of God's word? What does it say? It says, "So shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void." It's not going to come back useless. It's not a waste of time. "But it shall accomplish that which I please." So, what question do we ask? Well, what are you trying to accomplish? What are you seeking to accomplish? We see that. We see that His Word is transforming because it's seeking to accomplish something. And we see the answer to what it's seeking to accomplish. Verses 12 and 13, "For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." In verse 12, what is going on there? What's happening? "And for ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." What's happening? What's happening? Starts with a W. Worship, creation is worshiping God. My word goes forth and it will accomplish that which I please. And what is it that God desires to accomplish as His word goes forth? That we would worship. See, the beauty of it is when we are still before our God, when we are quiet and set aside the distractions of life, and we stop pushing, when we actually take the time to listen to God, and He speaks to us and teaches us, and we listen to what He says, what's going to happen in your life? Oh, that worship only happens because it's the creation. Well, we're creation too. You know what happens? When you read the awesome words of God, it inspires awe in your life. And you can't help but worship God. In stillness, we struggle. But in stillness, we see the Savior. Right? And in stillness, there is great triumph and victory, isn't there not? There can be worship because of who our God is. But are you giving Him the opportunity to speak to your heart as you are still before Him? Is there stillness in your suffering? Is there stillness in your struggles? Are you still in your struggle being still? Are you free of distraction? Are you trying to be free of distraction? So that you can get to know Him, so that you can rest and have the peace in the storm. That's what it comes down to. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank You for this time. Heavenly Father, we need Your help. It is such a challenge for us to consider these truths that we consider them profoundly obvious. Yet, Lord, how often are these truths practically obscure in our lives? How often are our lives consumed with distraction? How often, Lord, are we not still before You? Would You help us today as we consider these truths? Would You change us? Would You shape us? To mold us and make us. Would You help us, Lord, to truly relax before You in perfect trust, getting to know You face to face so we can be changed to the image of Your Son. We thank You. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.